Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. I've moved on from Calvin and George. I get abused when I have Calvin on the show. You know, I bring him in. It's the abuse that I love so much from being my seventh grade music teacher. He did not get a winning candy cane cash ticket. They do smell like peppermint sticks, though. It's pretty good. He was trying to win $30,000. We have him here. Costas in. We are in Dundalk. Mr. Costas is staring at me right here off the camera. John Maroon is with me. He, of course, the longtime Orioles, Redskins, Cal Ripken, PR, advertising, PGA. What am I? I'm leaving things out. I'm doing something, right?
Well, when you get old like us, you do a lot of stuff, right?
We got a side hustle. And we put all of our side hustles together, and I call it Baltimore Positive.
And you have a career.
This is my side hustle. Yeah. How are you? What's
going on,
man? I think the last time I saw you was BMW. The last time you were on the show, I think, was at Amici's Christmas time.
I think that's
a year ago this week.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Appreciate you coming out and having an eggnog and a beer with me. And,
reason to get to the Casas Inn and see Nestor is great.
Well, this, you come at this honest because every time I've ever brought up Costas, you have a relationship too. And you ain't even from around here. And
you're not
good with the Dundalk people.
You know, man. So a gentleman who worked with Cal Ripken for years named Glenn Vallis.
Glenn's stepdaughter is my webmaster, Jessica.
Yeah, Jessica.
Jessica runs Baltimore Positive.
It all ties together.
Jessica did the show with me in the other room here last year.
So Glenn turned me on. Glenn went to high school with the boys. The late great Glenn Vallis turned me on to the introduced me to the boys. He went to high school with those guys.
Lock Raven.
And then next thing you know, we're here, and Pete and Nick and Christine, it can't be lovelier. And every year now, Carolyn and I and a bunch of friends come here on my birthday every year. It's a tradition. Pete gets a text. We get the whales. It's go time. Best.
Your wife's up
at the
bar. She knows her way around Dundalk here, man. She knows Costas.
That's it. She does.
Well, and I'm going to out you here. This isn't even a PR hit. This because, you know I keep it real. When I think you saw me with Pete at some point in the last 10 years, and you said something to me. You're like, is there a nicer person than Pete Triantafilos? Are there nicer people than this family?
No.
And this family here at Christmas is, you know, struggling with the loss of Dad this year. It's like
it's
the first Christmas. Like, I'm looking at the picture here, and he's still in my heart and alive. And
yes.
What a year, man.
Yes, I'll tell you. And, you know, it's amazing to me. I remember when Carolyn and I wanted to go and to the funeral and go to the viewing, and we went and we pulled in. I think it started at 10 a.m. and we got there maybe quarter to 10.
Three-hour wait.
It was crazy.
It was 2.5 hours.
I mean, what a
trip.
That's what I mean. So, like, and we were early. I mean, what a test.
One of the most beloved humans.
For good reason. I mean, the man was amazing, and his kids are amazing and carry that on, his wife. So, you know, just an amazing person and sorely missed and shocking news, but what a honor to have him in our world for as long as we did.
He came to my wife the last time we saw him alive over there,
yeah,
about a week before he died, and he gave my wife a pen. And my wife thought it's so odd. Sweetheart, you take the pen. You know, he comes up, sweetheart, you take, you drink, you drink, you know. And I never thought I would not see him again. But he gave my wife this pen. And my wife's like, that's odd.
It's
and
like the most cherished thing in your house.
The morning he died, she found the pen.
Mm.
And she's like, oh, my God. It was like a sign, you know, something. But Mr. Costas, you know, they've been my sponsors all of the century. My thanks to them for everybody out there. John's been a part of a lot of things we've done here over 30 years, going back to, I think, the day we met.
Yeah.
I think I remember writing you letters when you worked for the Cleveland Indians trying to get agate type when I was at the Baltimore Sun in like 1989 or 90 or 91 or whatever. But John's been in Baltimore 30 years.
We were younger man's clothes.
But you never left.
Yeah.
You never left Baltimore. And I guess the relationship
with
Cal was a little bit of glue for you.
It was.
But you went and worked in the NFL. You worked and you had been a little bit of a New York, Cleveland.
Yeah.
What made this so settling for you?
I wish I could really answer that, Ness. I think, I don't know. Like, I mean, when we first moved here, I didn't know how long we would be here. I didn't know 30 years ago we'd still be here. We had no idea. But there's something very connective about this community. And I think the thing I always admired about Baltimore is you had to earn your way in. Like, when I first came here, it wasn't like you weren't felt welcome. You felt welcome. But they were also like, okay, you're not really one of us yet. Until you prove that you're legit and you're real and you eat crabs.
Are you
and
staying?
You do all stuff.
Are you trying to get to New York? Are you trying to get to a bigger market?
Yeah, that's right. That's the thought process.
Is this a stop on your way to the next place?
And honestly, at that time, I didn't really know what it was, but you know, quickly you fall in love with a place and you build a home and you make great lifelong friends. And, yeah, it's a beautiful place, and we're honored to be part of the community.
The land of pleasant living. John Maroon is our guest. We're at Costas. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, as well as a former client of yours, GBMC. Yes. He helped save my life a couple weeks ago. I'm actually having breakfast with Greg Schaefer tomorrow to talk AI. I was going to talk a little AI with you as well, especially being in the communication space and where we are in the agency space and jobs and employers and all that stuff. I mean, I've been saying for years to people, PSA number, colonoscopy, get checked, boobies. I do all the awarenesses of all the awarenesses.
Sure.
I haven't been to a doctor's appointment in like 15 years. And
you weren't practicing what you preach.
And everybody was beating on me about the colonoscopy. And I really think Christina Wales from GBMC, we did a deal together. But I said to her 2 days ago, I talked to her, I'm like, you may have saved my life because I don't know that I would have gone. I would. My wife, if she were here, she would absolutely say you would have never have gone. My wife didn't have the power to browbeat me to do it.
Right.
And I'm such a bad patient and all that.
Yeah.
But it's so important. You know, I had a little life scare, and I know you know, half people in the room are going to have a scare of some kind.
For sure.
I'm 57. For the first time in my life, I woke up and the doctor Scary said to me, "Hey, you had a precancerous polyp. Yeah. It's a good thing you got in here, dude."
That's right.
So go on the radio and tell everybody else about that. So Merry Christmas to everybody out there. But
do it. And all the people that think it's like this big process, it's easy peasy. And do it. Do it, do it, do
it. The stuff doesn't taste nearly as bad as I thought it was going to
taste. I agree with you.
Everybody thought it was going to be like...
I agree with that.
I thought it was going to be chalky, and it was more like a strawberry banana energy drink.
Well,
it really wasn't all that awful.
You hear the horror stories, and you're like, oh, all right, this ain't that bad. And then you wake up.
I mean, we're in a restaurant. I don't want to talk about it too much, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
I mean, on behalf of the Triantifilos family.
Yes.
So the AI thing, I want to talk to you about it because it's hot for me topical for me. And you're kind of sort of my age, and we're kind of sort of contemporaries. We kind of sort of swim in the same places of information, communication, writing.
For sure.
You know, outbounding, relationships, all of these things. We're always trying to communicate specifically different, not sending one email to everybody.
Yeah.
We're trying to be personal
in
whatever
right.
business. It's what we're taught to be in PR and communications. That doesn't get to all the sports organizations, as we find out. But in regard to AI, it's not that I didn't take it seriously. I've had a couple of wow moments when it wrote commercials for me this summer and different things like that, that it does things better than I can do them to some degree. But this immersion I've had the last month has been Willy Wonka for me. And anybody that owns a business,
amazing.
I'm talking to them about it and just saying, how immersed are you and how quickly are you going to get immersed? Because you're not going to have a business if you're not immersed
That's
at
right.
some point. I mean, it really is going to be like, remember when you would say to people, here's my number, and you would say, do you text? And they say, no, I don't text. I was that guy, right?
Right.
I ain't ever text. And then all of a sudden, can you imagine if you didn't text or have a cell phone now? Or you didn't? How would you get a ticket?
You'd be
to anything?
Tom Davis.
Yeah. How would you get? How would you do anything if you couldn't do it?
No, it's
I
crazy.
Think the AI part of owning a business is paramount. You have a lot of younger employees too, probably swimming at it.
And
right?
they're using it a lot more. We're getting way into it, like you are too, Ness. And somebody said something that resonated with me, and they said you might not lose your job to AI, but you'd lose your job to the people that understand how to use it. Right. And so you got to stay up to speed. It is a powerful tool. It is a important addendum to your work, and
it's essential.
Stay with it or lose.
I say essential.
Evolve or die.
Well, it's getting every single thing in my life done.
No doubt.
Better.
No doubt.
And faster.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if I could say better and faster to anything, you would say, all right, what's the catch? What's it going to cost me?
Yeah.
Am I going to go to jail for it?
Right.
Sometimes it feels like a cheat code. I mean, it absolutely does when I have used it in that way. But I am fascinated to see how people in your line of work, in local business, in communication business, are going to be able to really harness it and drive it. Because I think it's the most powerful thing I've ever seen.
It's critical.
And I've seen a lot of things.
Talk
about it.
It's critical, and we're using it quite a bit. I will tell you, I will make a judgment on ChatGPT on Monday because I asked it today whether I should start Mike Evans or Zay Flowers in my fantasy football semifinal
game. You're asking ChatGPT to evaluate your fantasy.
That's right.
You're using it like a toy, Maroon. We gotta get you.
This is important. It's
you
the
own
semifinals.
A business.
Well, I use it that way too, but this was more important.
Well, you were asking me before we came on. You're like, all right, so, what does it know? And I told you this crazy story about Marvin Lewis 2 weeks ago.
Crazy.
We did the show, and I have a clone. So I did a
Did you have to create the clones?
Yeah, so I did a Tony Robbins boot camp.
Yeah.
And you know I'm a Robbins guy, whatever, but I haven't done anything with Tony Robbins in 7 years. Yeah. I don't watch the videos. I'm not in the cult. I don't subscribe to anything. Yeah. I don't sit around and read Robbins books. But I have for 30 years, and I know Tony a little bit. Like, I've firewalked. It's the reason Baltimore Positive was dreamed up 7 years ago this week, last week. It was the week that Mahomes threw that ninja pass against the Ravens, against Lamar, rookie year, 18. I was in Florida when that play happened. It was that week. And I dreamed up Baltimore Positive in this park outside of the West Palm Beach Convention Center, where it was. And so I did that thing 7 years ago, and I'm on the list and whatever.
Yeah.
And I got an email maybe in like October, and I've been looking at all the courses to take.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, it was a free weekend, like around 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. And it was 12 hours of a weekend, and it really was a TED Talk. It was free.
Yeah.
It was a free 12-hour, and it wasn't just Robbins. It was like Arthur Brooks from The Atlantic talking about how AI can make you happier, how to use AI for happiness, because that's his jam. Happiness
is
his lane, right?
Guy,
So I watched all of this stuff, and it really was very Robbins-y in that it gave me the why before I ask why.
Yeah,
was telling me why you need it before you're like, how do I work it? Don't worry about how to work it. It's AI. It'll work for you. Let me tell you how you can use it.
Yeah.
And one of the weird things he did, and this is kind of a crazy, and anybody who plays with AI knows this, but one of the tricks was he had a picture of his refrigerator. And he said, why do you think I have a picture of my fridge? He said, well, I have two small kids, and they ask me, what can you make me eat? All they do is eat. They want to eat.
Yeah.
He has a picture of a refrigerator. He put it into AI and said, what can I make my kids? And it knows everything in the refrigerator. It gave him a whole menu of every possible thing he could make. And if his kids had a peanut restriction or didn't like mustard like me, I don't want any mustard on my sandwich. It would know it, and it would make a menu. So I said to my wife, do you dare me to take a picture of our refrigerator and put it into my ChatGPT and say create a menu? It created menus of like, you have olive oil and lemon, you can make dressing. Like it gave me in 2 seconds.
I mean, it's really amazing. So I think, first of all, let me say this. Like, I think the fact that you and I at our age, and you're more advanced, I clearly tell on the AI right now than I am, but at our ages, the fact that we're into it and delving into it and learning it puts us way ahead of the curve already. I think it's one of those things that what it does is beyond belief. And let me ask you a question, Ness. Like, when you were building out your bot or whatever it's called, your personality,
your clone.
When you're building out your clone, like, how does it know the fridge stuff? Like, do you put in,
you
or does
do
it know your shopping bill? Like, what does
right,
it know?
So
like,
I'm going to sit here because I'm glad you're asking me this, because if I were on your beer chat, John, wait, John Maroon's here. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, your friends at GBMC.
Having a loose cannon.
Hey, all
Baltimore.
Right, I like that.
Yeah.
Baltimore.
Yeah.
What's up, man? I used to get into Hugh Sisson's place and eat wings down on Cross Street all the time. Told you, that beer's warm and flat. Who's going to drink this craft? Only everybody. So I always tell Hugh he was right and I was wrong. So the clone thing happened. It was the first thing we did. The Robbins promise was you were going to build a clone and you were going to save 15 hours a week of your life. That was his promise for the $1,000 for the course, right?
Wow.
The course was 6 weeks long. He had a European guy named Igor Pagani was the trainer. Robbins wasn't even, to say it's a Robbins thing.
Robbins is pulling people together.
It was his company that is the umbrella for it. He participated in the 12 free hours in the beginning.
Yeah.
He wasn't even a part of the course because he's not the AI trainer. He had a guy to do that. So this guy, we created a clone the first day of class. And the clone was basically, you go into ChatGPT, you kind of have to subscribe, you know, buy the package so you don't get stopped. There's a DNA in this thing called a markdown file. Markdown file is like a PDF or a doc. It's just it's a three-digit markdown file. Right. Is the format that AI reads better.
It cleans the format for
AI to read it better. So this was, what are you trying to accomplish, was what I put into my clone. Here's where it gets sticky for me, and probably for you as a public figure. You've been a public figure for 30 years as a PR director. You are all over the internet. You have a blog. You have a website. You have a company. You have a LinkedIn. You have a Facebook. You have a huge history.
So it has
Cal
lots
Ripken.
Of places to find me, right? Like,
so if I were to put into my clone right now, given our friendship and you've done my show, write about my relationship with John Maroon, it would know a lot because it knows a lot about you. Maybe more about Marvin Lewis or Brian Billick or Lamar Jackson.
Bigger public profiles, right.
But my profile is enormous on the internet because everything I've ever done has been intentionally put on the internet by me. I was an early internet adopter. Right. All of my YouTube interviews from Super Bowls 20 years ago are up. Everything you and I have ever, everything Cal Ripken and I have ever done is up. Yeah. And you're associated to that. So my clone had a particular power that only I know about because I'm me. I don't know what yours would know about you.
Right.
But the minute I put in who I was and what I did, didn't need much more than that other than the verification that it didn't understand Baltimore Positive's association with me until I told it.
Got it.
So part of my clone was to put up my what I'm going to use AI for, my business. It knew everything about my business. The minute I said who I was, it knew everything about my life story. And then I wanted to make the clone stronger. So I'm like, all right, I need a bio of myself.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, I made that documentary 2 years ago with Greg Landry. I put it in there, and it didn't like it because it wasn't in the format. So when you do a clone, you need to do it in a markdown. I'm teaching. I'm giving you some inside poker here, right? It didn't want to see a video. It didn't want to see a doc. It didn't even want to see a crappy transcript. It wanted to evaluate it. So here's what you do with AI, and it's the amazing thing. I sound like my teacher. I sound like Igor, my teacher. AI knows you. You just put it in. You tell AI what you want, and it will help you. It will give it to you. So here's what I did. Documentary is a video, a lot of pictures and some words. I took the transcript, threw it in, cleaned it up, put the transcript into AI and said to AI, write this as a markdown file as my biography.
Oh, I love it.
It completely did everything. And that's my second part of the clone. Then the third part of the clone for me was, so I had life story, my business, and the other part was like, all right, what would I want to put in? My media kit.
Yeah.
I wanted to put my media kit. My media kit's a PDF of a PowerPoint of whatever. Right. It took my – this is where it gets crazy. It took my media kit. I put it in, and it said, we don't like this, but we're going to take everything in your media kit and clean it and cleanse it like what you do, and we're going to turn it into a markdown file. So it does it for you.
Wow.
So you don't –
so you just have to ask it
to
turn your stuff into
a wonkavator. It's a total wonkavator. Yeah, like that, I don't even know how to explain it. Like I get in, I'm like, it's like Willy Wonka. I don't know where it's gonna go. I don't know where it's gonna land.
Sideways,
but something
down,
really gonna happen. Something dramatic is gonna happen here. And every time I hit go, something dramatic happens. You know, whether it's about building my business, whether it's about my competitors.
Now,
whether
do you
it's
strictly
about the
marketplace. Use ChatGPT? Well, do you use Copilot and other ones too?
I graduated from my class 48 hours ago. Yes, you can take your clone and put it anywhere.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, the other part of my clone, and this is going to get really. So, if you're listening, John Maroon's here. We're Costas, and we're telling really important clone stories.
Yes.
But I'm. It's my I love you, so I want to help your business and get you into this 6 months earlier than you want to get into it, right?
Love it.
So when I did my Robbins, the last Robbins week, it wasn't a fire walk. It was seven. I'd done several fire walks. This is 7 days immersion. It's called Date with Destiny. It's really expensive. He invited me as a guest.
Wow.
It was very kind of him because my wife had cancer. He knew that. He was trying to help her. So we're there, and it helped me more than helped my wife, believe it or not, with Baltimore Positive. But we had groups. We broke. There were 4,000 people at this thing.
Yeah.
So you had a group of a dozen people that you work teams, right?
Cool.
I was on Blue 7. I only know that because my chart, I have a poster that I created of my mission statement in life and everything in life that is a forward and away goal. Literally,
it's good.
A down and dirty, week-long evaluation of everything I want to be in life.
Yeah, it's cool.
I break it out every year this time of year, and I evaluate my goals.
Where am
you know, where
I?
Am I? It's this time of year. My wife goes away kind of famously with her family. She's in Quebec right now speaking French, eating croque madame and poutine and all that. Freezing her ass off. It's like 5 degrees in Quebec City today. So this poster exists, and I look at it every year, and I study it, and it's me, and I make some additions every year. But it's color. It's crayoned. It's
that.
A poster. Yeah. It's my handwriting. It doesn't mean anything.
I think that's
cool. No one's ever seen it but my wife. And my team, and I have it on my phone. I can show it to you. Love the Causies. Did you win?
No.
Next time.
Next time.
They're great lottery players, the Causey family. Thanks for letting me drink beer in your basement back when I was a kid. You know I love you, Mr. Dave.
Still open.
It's still open.
We're on our way.
Dundalk. That's better than Dundalk. I love this place. It's like I'm from here or something. So this poster is everything that's really important to me.
Yeah, that's cool.
Away goals, about hope,
it's
about
like a
despair.
Vision board in a way.
It
right?
is a complete vision board, but it's contained. And I thought, how in the world am I going? I wouldn't even know where to begin to translate this into writing or into what I believe in if I were to make it a blog or share it on LinkedIn or to share it as a motivational thing. Turn it into a speech in some way, right? Took a picture of it. Put it in my chat. I said, this is my Tony Robbins life chart mission statement. Can you help me turn this into a markdown? It completely filed every part of it. It wrote it as prose. It wrote it as bullet points. It took it, translated it into what it was.
Wow.
Like, these are your mission statements. These are the things that are important to you. It doesn't say that. It just knew that. Yeah. And I took that and put it into my clone. So since I've souped my clone with the original document, my whole life story,
your hopes and dreams,
everything that's important to me, and my whole business strategy into my clone the right way in the right file, every single thing it directs me to do now is like supercharged on supercharged.
It's really amazing.
And it was already pretty supercharged because it knew who I was because of my public figureness to begin with.
Right. But now you're adding personal insights and feelings.
It's
and
been helpful
goals
beyond anything
that,
I can begin to tell you.
Clearly.
That when I do three pieces with Luke on a Sunday after a Ravens game, like Ravens can play Sunday night, we'll do our three pieces Monday morning. I can take those pieces and put it into my clone and say, write my column. Yeah. In my words, in what I actually said and believe.
And instantly have that.
And this thing, it pisses me off, John. It's you good. Know how highly I think of my own writing. You know, I think I'm a pretty decent writer.
Yes.
It's way better than me.
Love it.
It pisses me off that it writes better than I write.
Great.
But it writes just like me. You would never know if I told Max Weiss, and Max was like, now you know you have an ethical... I said, it's my words. It's what I said on the radio today.
Right,
it just regurgitated in a way that I don't have to take 6 hours to write
that,
a column.
I think that's a really good clarifying point, because I think there is that concern, like, oh, is it really you? And no, it literally is me. He's pulling it down.
I'm blowing Luke's mind, because it will write a column for Luke, too.
You know, it's cool,
Luke
too,
does more talking
Luke,
than I do.
But Luke's a kid, and you're still blowing his mind, right?
He's 42.
Well, in my world, that's young.
I keep looking at this like every big thing. Once we get older, how old are you?
60.
60. I'm 57. You're a little older than me, but we have the same life experience of cable television came to our neighborhood.
Right. Yeah.
That was mind-blowing.
Huge.
Mind-blowing that we had cable television, right? Then the newspaper, like USA Today happened every day, right? Like we had a national newspaper every day. Then
remember when email first came? I remember email thinking...
What about cable news?
Yeah.
Where did you get news at 2 in the afternoon when the president was shot?
Yeah.
NBC special report.
That's right. Broke in.
So then talk radio. Yeah. Rush Limbaugh, right?
That's right.
And then the internet.
Hours, and then
but the biggest thing, and my son's coming. I thought my son just walked in, but my son's coming a little later on. In 2003, I got married. In 2004, my phone had a little envelope on the top. I looked at it. My son's like, "Did you get my text?" I'm like, "It was a text."
Yes,
and he said to me, "No, Dad, give me your flip phone." He said, "See the little envelope there? It's a text."
Your flip
I'm
phone.
Like, "I will never text.
Yes.
Don't ever text
yes.
me. Call your father.
Yeah.
You love me. You call your father.
Now you just text.
Now, like,
you're blowing up people.
Do you remember
phones.
When you would say to somebody, "Do you text?"
Yeah,
and people
totally.
Didn't text.
Totally.
And you're and about 3 years
I was
into it.
I was like you too. I was a caveman. Like, I'm not doing that crap.
3 years, 5 years into it, everybody's texting. When somebody says to you, "I don't text," you're like, you must be rich or don't have a gig. Like, how do you get anywhere? How do you find anybody at the airport? Like, how do you get anywhere?
It's impossible.
But I fought it. You fought
of
it.
Course.
Twitter, Facebook. I never had a MySpace.
All this stuff. Dude. Like, it's a, And then if you look, I was listening to a pod the other day and said, think about 20 years ago. 20 years, not long, goes like that. 20 years, none of this. We didn't have
LinkedIn,
these.
Facebook.
None of this shit. Nobody had these 20 years ago.
Russians controlling our mind.
That's right.
Getting
That's
criminals
right.
elected.
That's
John
right.
Maroon is here. We're in Costas. We're having, I always want to come on your beer thing, and you're drinking beer, and I'm drinking water, because
well, listen,
I'm the sober one.
You're a professional. You're supposed to be a professional.
I've been sponsored by Bud Miller Coors. I've been Yingling. They've all sponsored me. So.
Well, you've built Nestor, I want to say, you never brag on yourself. We met 30 years ago. You've been through a few different iterations of your business. The thing I always admired about you is your ability to evolve. And you talk about AI now, but I also remember when you had NST, just the radio station, and then your evolution into the web and your evolution into social.
Do you know how hard it was for me in the basement to try to explain? No, look, listen, I'm not bagging on Rob Long or Bob. They all work for me. But in 2005, 6, 7, when I created WNST.net and I brought 20 people into the basement who all worked for me, all younger than me for the most part, and I said to all of them, you don't understand. I've been out trying to sell this. Nobody thinks anyone listens to us because there's this mafia called Arbitron that says, you're a zero, you're a zero, I'm a zero,
exactly
we're
right.
a zero.
That's exactly right.
Then
what did you do?
The minute we had NST, the minute we went to NST.net, tens of thousands of people were hitting our website.
I remember going to the house. Back in the day, it was awesome.
We had a buffet in the basement. Had PR guys,
but I will tell you, like, just the fact that you were ahead of that curve is kudos to you, because you're right. It was at that point in time when there was a watchdog that was mandating whether you're valuable or not, and then the internet said enough of that shit.
Well, I love how the fan now has Haney's got sunglasses on and they're shooting all this stuff in the video. They've moved to video. I was doing video 18 years ago. I was doing video so much I pissed Kevin Byrne off holding my camera at a press conference. He's like, why do you have a Canon camera? And I'm like, there's a thing called YouTube. Kevin's like, I don't know anything about that. I'm like,
Canon
well,
camera.
You know, one day you're going to lose your job. We're all going to lose our jobs. These whippersnappers that are creating reality television out at the castle. I mean, what sports teams
the world has changed, man.
You and I have had once. I remember our Drug City conversation 3 years ago about reality TV, right when I first lost my press pass. Last year we had a chat at Amici's about it. That's what team websites are now, right? Team websites are a 24-hour PR reality TV spin from whether it's contracts being signed, whether it's film in the back rooms.
And the content creation capabilities changed everything. I do find it interesting. One thing, and I know you know this, I learned about AI. All these AI tools are pulling down now. They're pulling a lot more of their information from earned media. So, like, places like WSC.net, Be More Positive, and the Baltimore Sun, and the New York Times, and that's actually carrying a lot more results when you put stuff into chat and Copilot than anything else.
I pulled a stat today.
So it rejuvenates the need for media.
Trust.
Media
authenticity
trust.
And
that's
trust.
It.
Everything that when my clone compliments me and the 23 million ads we've served on the website this year.
Pretty cool.
The clout and the numbers that AI has been able to put. I've had 3.4 million people on my Facebook page the last 90 days.
How about that?
The last 90 days. So, but the video part of the AI experience is different because video now scrolls, and we put this up, it'll have a transcript. That's something that, like, when I was doing radio 20 years ago and I moved to have an audio vault. I was trying to get, what was that transcription program? Dragon?
Yeah, I remember.
Dragon was a voice.
Yeah.
And it was just lousy.
Yeah.
And every guest that would come on the radio station, especially if you have like Phil Jackman on with a weird accent or whatever, it would not pick up accents. It probably could have been trained to know the voices of my hosts. Yeah. But in the modern era, how far that technology has come to, I'll give you a little piece. My clone, the first thing my clone wanted from me when it found out who I was my voice. It said, give us a sample of your voice. I was going to give it like my Peter Principles reading of a book.
Yeah.
It had my real voice, plus my radio gig that I do and all this.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus when I read my columnists, I read it as more Paul Harvey. So I have different voices in the way I speak to people. What it wants to do is it wants to make all my commercials for me.
Oh, wow.
Just take the script and my voice, put my voice on. So basically, it's trying to cut time out. It's trying to say, if we have your voice, dude,
we can
cut the commercial for you, and you don't have to. Cutting commercials doesn't take me long, but for some people, it's arduous.
Yeah.
Writing for some people is all day, all
night.
That's right. It's always offering to help. And I guess if there's nothing else I can say.
It's a good way to phrase it.
With the AI thing for me that I didn't understand. I was like you. You know, help my fantasy team.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, What neat. When I got showed ChatGPT the first time a year and a half ago, Mike Rosenfeld, who I'm sure you know too from Web Connection, he showed it to me on the show.
Yeah.
Like as part of our Zoom. And you know what we did? We wrote a roses are red, violets are purple, the ravens are bibba, and they're going to purple you. Yeah, you know, it was like a. It wrote a Ravens poem in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's kind of neat. And it wrote it like. For real. It wrote about the Ravens.
And you're asking a kindergarten stuff when it could do postgraduate work, right?
It wrote something like, from Ray to Suggs, from Reed to Flacco, we'll never know. Like, it wrote that kind of thing a year and a half ago.
The whole history,
and I'm like, well, isn't that a cool toy? It's kind of like when my kid texts me, I'm like, oh, I got a little envelope. Then the envelope becomes how I've gotten every deal done. How I've met every, like.
I mean, Ness, think about the evolution of communication over the last 10, 15 years. It's never been this swift in the history of the world.
Well, Twitter changed that.
For sure.
Really, and now it's been taken over by the Nazis. Sure. I got thrown off.
Listen, you never asked me, though. More importantly, you never asked me. I told you early on I used ChatGPT to ask whether it was Mike Evans or Zay Flowers for my fantasy team this weekend. What do you think it's
I don't know who Tampa's playing. So
Tampa's playing Carolina.
Zay Flowers at home, Patriots defense. I don't know. I'd start Zay Flowers because it's more fun.
It said Zay Flowers, and I was a little surprised. I thought it would say Mike Evans. He's coming off a big week, first week back, and Carolina's Carolina. But it said Zay Flowers, and so I'm going to play Zay, and I'll tell you, I'm going to text you on Sunday if Mike Evans has like 32 points. I'm going to be bitter, and I'm going to say, look, I need to incorporate your clone because on my own I failed.
Well, if you stood next to Mike Evans and stood next to Zay Flowers, you'd probably take Mike Evans.
That's right.
But the funny thing about Mike, you say Mike Evans, of all people, the Ravens beat Tampa really, really bad in like 2014 or 15 in Tampa. Mm. Went to that game with Pike, and my wife was fighting for her life at that time. So it was 14 or 15. It was 15 season. We're down in Tampa. I was wearing pink. And I remember Flacco threw one touchdown, two, three, four. It was like 41-3 at halftime. It was a crazy bad game. And I remember being down on the field after the game and seeing Mike Evans. And I've stood next to every football player there is. I'm not impressed by their Adonis-ness or their stature or their masculinity. But I stood next to Mike Evans on the field, and I'm like,
wow.
Shit, man, that's a wide receiver. Like, and I'm 25 years into standing next to wide receivers. But I stood next to him, and I'm like,
dude,
he looks good getting off the bus.
You know what you're doing right now?
Zay Flowers looks more like me.
By the way, I can't believe Mike Evans was with Tampa 10 years ago. That's amazing, and I think you're absolutely right.
He's been
like 12
rings.
Years. Yeah.
A couple rings.
And you're changing my mind now, so I'm going to feel looking.
Don't do that. Get the weather report. John Baruch here. We're at Costas. We're having fun. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery Candy Game. So it's funny that you would jump right into that. Not funny, because it's who you are. That I'm talking about communication styles and things that make communication go faster, better, smoother.
Yeah.
You were always trying to do that on behalf of Ripken's image, on behalf
always.
Of the people you're, you know, hey, man, somebody says we got to respond. We got to respond the right way. We have to think about it. We need to be polite. ChatGPT has a thing where you can be cynical, a jerk, professional, whimsical, funny. You can be anything you want to be. You just tell it the tone you want.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I, from a communication standpoint, it's Willy Wonka. I just keep saying that to anybody in our space.
No,
and that's why I wasted a half an hour talking about it, because I think
it.
You can use it the most. And like the colonoscopy that everybody needs.
Yes. But I think anybody out there can use it. Anybody out there can use it if you haven't been using it. And I think it's still a little scary to a lot of people.
That's what I'm finding out. So I'm 6 weeks into this.
Yeah.
I created my clone November 13th.
Crazy.
On November 18th, I put my first piece of my clone in. And the first question I ask is, what do you know about me that I don't know about myself?
What did it say?
It wrote 8 pages about me being an innovator, that my special sauce is storytelling and people and trust and authenticity.
It's a great
It was my press release.
Yeah.
It was literally my press release. I'm like, it knows what I want to be. I don't know if I am that, but I'm trying like hell. And it gets it. It understands me.
I love it.
That was literally the first thing it did. And then I've been beating on the machine for 5 weeks to see what it's capable of and what it's not capable of, what it's good at and what it's not good at. And what I keep coming back to is it is so much smarter and better than anything you can possibly conceive.
Yeah.
And in the last 6 weeks, when if I went through the bar – And I said to everyone here, including my boy John, who's fantastic drummer, singer, friend, all of that, he isn't AI'd up yet. And I, how much have I beaten your ears about AI the last 4 weeks?
A ton. John, it's all I've heard for the last 30
it's
minutes.
He's one of my best friends in the whole world. I love John. But he is like, it's scary. It's going to take over the world. The Russians have it. It's in the cosmos.
I think both things can be true.
No, but not you. People, when I go to people, they're looking at me like,
yes. No, there's a fear.
He's in a cult.
There's a fear for sure.
There's a huge fear.
But that's okay. There was a fear of the internet when it first started. There was a fear of iPhones. There was a fear of
everything. I remember when the internet happened and my pal Scott Lindsay was at PC BankNet. They weren't PSINet, they were PC BankNet.
Yeah.
And they were Radicus.net, one of my emails from like my Marriott account is still nasty at Radicus.net. So he was the first person that came to me, and he's one of the smartest humans I know. I mean, he said to me, "You're going to do all your banking on your phone." Yo, and I'm like, shit, who's going to ever get to that point? Who's ever going to buy anything on the internet?
Yeah.
Who would be that stupid? Who would do that?
I swear to God, I can't go three. My wife, who's here, despises it. I can't scroll four times without buying something off of Instagram.
No, your Instagram.
No, Instagram just now understands me. They feed me every freaking ad, and I'm double clicking Apple Pay on everything. But you're right. Who would have thought I'd ever do it? Especially me. I'm scared of everything.
I would have.
Now I'm like, yes.
I laughed at him when he told me this.
Yeah.
And he also told me some things that didn't happen.
Yeah, of course.
Like, he told me that we would not have keyboards anymore, and we literally, there'd be a virtual keyboard that we would just type on the table. We would just type like this, that there wouldn't be an actual keyboard. Now, we're going to go way past that because my clone, I'm never going to have to type again.
Yeah.
Once I haven't voice activated my clone yet. I don't talk to my clone. I'm not ready. I'm understanding it. I'm 4 weeks into this.
Yeah.
But once I start talking to my clone, it's going to be over.
Yeah.
Because I'm never going to want to type again. It's going to be like calling instead of texting.
That's right.
I know that I'm about to make a paradox. I'm old enough to know myself.
Yeah.
I know once I start talking to it,
yep.
I will never reach the text again.
It's crazy.
And I'm within 6 months of doing that. Have you been in a driverless car yet?
I've not.
I went to Phoenix in September.
Yeah, they're all over.
They're everywhere
Phoenix.
In Phoenix,
it's
and they're
wild.
In Vegas too. But
they have that
in
thing on top. They have whammo thing.
It's a whammo thing, and has all the. And my wife saw it at the airport. We pulled into Sky Harbor, and they're coming through. We're like, hey, they got them cars that drive themselves.
Yeah.
And my wife's like, Waymo, and she downloaded the app.
Yeah.
I'm like, we're getting one. We're
yeah,
gonna get
to.
It.
How
we're gonna
was
get
it?
In. We got addicted. We got addicted. We did like four of them.
Yeah.
Because. You get in the back seat and you're in there and it's just you and you're like, am I safe? Am I not safe?
Right.
Am I safer? Dude, I've been in some Ubers with some.
Yeah, no shit.
People who take
way
taking
safer
some gummies.
On whammo,
yeah, I mean, totally. I've been in some Ubers and we're not on the up and up. I thought to myself, well, what would happen if somebody approaches the car to like hurt us or carjack us or whatever? I'm like, this car is the safest car in Phoenix. It's got cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
Literally everywhere. Yeah. But Bill Cole was with me at Pizza John's 3 weeks ago, and I had Todd Schuler, who is Blondell Miller Schuler, best damn lawyers, damn good lawyer in Essex. He is, no offense, an ambulance chaser. He's accident. First thing he says, so the car catches on fire when you're in it, and the door's locked, and you're locked in fire in it. That's a lawsuit for me. And I'm thinking, you're coming at this wrong. It's like you're coming at AI from like how it's going to be terrible for you instead of coming at it from how it's going to help you.
That's right.
So the driverless car was a little cheaper because it doesn't have a driver.
Right.
It's a little slower. So when I had a young girl waiting tables.
Because they're doing the speed limit, right? Is that?
They don't go on the highway. They did.
Okay.
They can now, apparently. They got a new, beginning of the year. But because of the law in Phoenix, they wouldn't let them go above 50 miles an hour or above 45 miles an hour. So when I got my Uber, if you know Phoenix at all, I got my Uber at Sky Harbor. I had an airport hotel. We went to Scottsdale.
Yeah.
It did not take the freeway. It took the Canyon Road
through
this Arbor Park and a zoo. I would have never seen the Phoenix Zoo. Phoenix Zoo is beautiful. But we rode it in a Waymo.
Yeah, love it.
And it talks to you when you're in there. It asks you if you want music on.
I will try one. I hear they're coming here. I will try one. Yeah, that's the word on the street.
Will you be scared?
Yeah, a little bit. My first ride, I'll be a little anxious, but
the second ride we took,
I think it'd be weird to not be anxious.
We went through a stop sign, and this is apparently a thing that you do if you're in Phoenix. You F with the driverless car. You jut out in front of it to see what it'll do.
Oh, right.
So if you're in a stop sign and it's coming, and you accelerate and stop real quick as a driver,
yeah,
it will freak out the car.
Yeah, yeah.
So we had a freak out. We were in the car, and some jack wagon was playing the machine,
yeah,
basically.
Messing with it, yeah.
And, you know, our thing stopped, stuttered, yeah, and moved around. It just kept going.
Like, love it.
Like the same thing you would have done if you were driving.
Yeah, that's right.
Except it's better than you.
It's
cool. AI.
It is.
It knows more than you. It just does.
It is. Well, listen, no one's better than you, but I have to take my bride for
okay.
a birthday.
Tell me what's going on, Maroon, because we talked AI.
No, look, we're great, Ness. You're the best. I love our relationship.
Stop that.
Maroon PR, maroonpr.com. We've been around 20 years.
Job with the golf
our anniversary will be our 20th anniversary next April, which I'm excited
20?
About.
20?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you thought it was
agency.
Just going to be sports.
I know. Well, way more than sports. A lot of nonprofit. Great, amazing clients like the Maryland Food Bank, National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial, Ripken Foundation.
Maryland Food Bank, new leadership.
New leadership. Meg Kimmel, who was the COO, was elevated to CEO, replacing Carmen Delguicio, who retired. She's a dynamic woman, taking it to new heights.
I got
to
get her on.
Critical work. She would love to be on with you, and one of my favorite human beings.
I would say this. This is on behalf of Maryland Food Bank. Everybody's giving stuff right now, coats, food, yeah, money, all that stuff. I do Cup of Super Bowl first week of February. We're doing it again.
Awesome.
That is the week where, like, the food pantries dry up.
Yes.
Gets cold.
That's
out.
That's right. People,
I just want people thinking about this, especially with what the government's trying to do to your health care, to food, to SNAP, to all of that stuff.
It's an issue.
Let's keep everybody, you know, I have a little bit too much food in my refrigerator right now. My wife's out of town. I want everybody to have enough food to get through and enough love to make it through the holidays. Love
Maryland
you, John.
Food Bank's critical. Thank you for the plug on that. And great seeing you, Ness. Happy Christmas.
He'll come back next year. He'll say, that AI thing, it's like a Wonka Vader. I have a whole other arm of my maroon.
I retired.
Of AI.
Like I retired, Nestor, because AI.
All right. We got to figure out where we're going to retire to. John Maroon is here. We're going to retire to Cleveland. Go back work for the Guardians. We're here at Costas. We're doing things. John Allen's going to be up next. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We have Candy Cane Cash. We're going to talk rock and roll. We're going to talk about life saving. And I had a dear friend of mine, Jerry Piper, couldn't be here today, gave his kidney this week to save a man's life. And Eddie Lauer got a new heart about a month ago and is doing really, really well. He's at the hospital today, couldn't be with us today. But John and I are going to talk about Ed Lauer. We're going to talk about rock and roll. We're going to talk about Child's Play. We're going to talk about Stone Horses. And we're going to talk about rocking around the Christmas tree. We're at Costas in Dundalk. Stay with us.